Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
It's not about our happiness. It's about our Father's joy.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. We conclude our study of the I Am's of John as Pastor turns to John 15. We'll look at the significance of the statement, I am the vine.
There are some things that the Gospel of John states that nobody else states. Here's the elder John, 50 years after Christ has gone on to heaven, and he, John, the last standing apostle, in John chapter 15, almost as if a deathbed conversation that Jesus has with his 11 disciples there in the upper room. He tells them, we're going to leave now, and he heads down the steps of the Judean hillside on a cool evening. And he almost is whispering to them, come close. I have something I want to say to you that I've never said to you, and they're incredibly important. These are the words you find in John 15. Look at your Bibles. Let's look at this passage here. I think it will be a understandable point to you that we are called to be cultivated. When he said, I am the vine, really what he's talking about, we in our Christian life are called to be cultivated because Jesus is the source of all of our productivity. Let me ask three questions with you, and if you're taking notes, I encourage you to do so. Let me give you these three questions, and I bet you could ask these three questions like the mini text. Number one, what does it mean when it was written? In other words, historically, what was Jesus talking about? It is there on the hillside. He's walking down the hillside, and he makes the statement to his disciples somewhere in the line, stopping along the way, and he says, listen, there is this statement, I'm the true vine. And it brings great history to his statement because they immediately knew there's something big here. Notice, let me give you a second question beyond what it mean when it was written historically. Number two, what does it mean today? Currently, how do you make application? When you read the scripture, Jesus does this for us. And this is what he very simply says. He says that number one, Jesus is identifying himself as the genuine vine, the only source of spiritual life. And then he says, the vine dresser is God the Father, is pictured here as a busy, active, faithful gardener working in his vineyard. What does it mean to us currently with the vine dresser, the vine, the branch? Here's what he means when he says in verse 2, here are, and he identifies four groups or baskets, if you would. Here is where you are one of those four. He says, first of all, every branch in me that bears no fruit. Then he says he's going to take it away, but every branch that, notice, what does it also say that what? Bears fruit. In other words, there's a little fruit, and then he says he's going to purge it, that it may bring forth, what does it say in your Bible? Bring forth more fruit. So there's a third basket. There's no fruit. There's a little fruit in here. There's more fruit in here. And then he says, notice if you would in verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches, as if they didn't get it again. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth what? Much fruit. What is the process to go from here to here? You know what Jesus tells disciples? I'm going to get you from there to there. I'm going to tell you what it's going to take. Here's what Jesus says it's going to take. Look at your Bibles, verse 15. He says, first of all, you know what I'm going to do? If you're bearing no fruit, what does the Bible say? It says he what? Takes it away. What does that mean? The same word for taking away is the same idea for lifting up. They did not have wire or lattice work as we do today. Unfortunately, the Greek word for lift up is the exact word for takes away. Many a Bible translator would be well served to study the indigenous agricultural methods of the Palestinian vine dressers, who still preserve the ancient technique today. And it is true. You can go to Israel and you can see the same thing happening. So what they end up doing is purging it or lifting it up. Well, fact is, look at your Bibles right here. Verse 2, every branch of me that bears no fruit, he's going to take it away. He's going to lift it up, in other words. He says, verse 3, you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you. He's going to clean that vine up. What about that one that says, okay, listen, here's a little fruit here. At least there's no fruit. There's a little fruit. Am I going to leave it there? Listen, the second thing the Father said to do in his care of the vine is to purge it or to prune it. And in Greek, this word is karthariso. In other words, it means to cleanse, to make clean, or to purify. Because I'm not going to leave it just as no fruit, a little fruit. I want to get you more fruit. How am I going to get more fruit? I'm going to discipline you, chasten you. Look at your Bible's number 3. It says not just no fruit, little fruit, but then more fruit. The end of verse 2. And he may bring forth more fruit. Now, what does he mean by that? There's a difference between chastisement. That chastisement is because there's sin there and I want repentance. Why? So that he would be able to get things cleaned up. And that chastisement for sin is very similar to the pruning process. That pruning process is now not dealing with sin. It's dealing with yourself. And he's doing this so that you would increase the size and the surplus of your produce. Because he wants you to have much fruit. Now, in other words, he's in a place to say, okay, are you at the point here where, hey, I'm cleaned up? Then he says, all right, I'm going to come along. I'm going to start pruning this. And you know what? He doesn't care how big the shears. He cares about, is this producing? Because you know what? I got to get this thing produced, man. I've got investments into this. So, like, okay, I'm going to. Because you know what these things will do right here? This right here pulls away. This is like, it's not producing anything. You know what it's doing? It's sucking away from the produce. So I'm going to trim all this off right here so that I can get more of the flow from the taproot straight through this branch right here so that I can end up getting more of these fruit right here. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes it's painful because if that doesn't work, he can get something bigger. This will work. You're with me, then let me give you very simply the third question. What does it mean when it was written? Your history. What does it mean today, currently? Then what does it mean to you and me today? What is he saying all this for? What he's saying all this for is personally, and let me put three statements here. If you get nothing else, get this. Number one, if you're bearing no fruit spiritually, then God's going to step in and lovingly discipline you. That's what he's going to do. He's going to put you in a place to look at life like he looks at it. Because he's getting you to a place of much fruit. He wants to get you from here, okay? No fruit. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to clean you up. Because he's not, if you're a child of God, he's not going to let you live in sin. Even the most extreme case in Corinthians, when Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, some of have even died prematurely. That's how serious God takes it as a vine. Now, that's extreme. I don't think that happens all the time. But I do know because he loves you so much, he's going to let you live in sin. He's going to discipline you. And I'm going to tell you the problem is, discipline or lifting up and purging, pruning, look awfully the same. And they both can be very painful. You see, the motive is the same. I love. This is say, I got to clean you up. You're living in sin. You're not going to stay this way. You're going to have conflict in your life. You're going to have difficulties. Relationships are not going to be right. And it's going to be long term. But boy, boy, when a person confesses and expresses repentance, thank God. But see, a lot of times he starts pruning us because now, okay, I'm producing some fruit here. I got some fruit. But he says, I'm going to prune you because I want you to get more fruit. So he starts snipping away areas of our life to move us beyond this element to more fruit and ultimately much fruit. How does he do this? Not only as I would suggest to you very simply, by if you're bearing no fruit spiritually, God's going to step in and lovingly discipline you. But secondly, if you're bearing some fruit, God's going to lovingly prune you. And you know what I say to that? What he's saying, Jesus is saying, listen, enjoy the process, enjoy the release. You see, at this point, this isn't about sin. This is about production. Here, many a believer, I'm afraid, is going to stand before God, and they're going to be so disappointed. But the reality is, he said, I want you to at least get some fruit in here. But to get from here to here, now I'm going to end up cutting areas off in your life so that your main energy and focus would be to produce something for myself. It's not about our happiness. It's about our Father's joy. And when you take that perspective, his perspective, everything changes because now I don't get to end up deciding, God, what you're going to prune and not going to prune. He's going to cut to the core of who you are. In spiritual terms, as Boyce states, this obviously refers to God's work in removing that which is spiritually detrimental for a Christian's life. It means, as Boyce says, to have our bad attitudes and bad habits stripped away. It means to have our priorities reordered, our values changed. And at times it may mean the removal of friends who are hindering rather than advancing our spiritual growth. Deadwood friends. That's what he means. There's an excellent little book, Secrets of the Vine, by Dr. Wilkinson. Many of these thoughts come out of that. He mentions to shear away those points of pruning. And he doesn't have to get those big old shears. How does he end up trimming off that branch? Those small little shoots that are only going to suck away the energy rather than producing fruit. He suggests that there are people that you love most. He's going to prune it away. There is your own love for possessions. He's going to prune them away. He's going to have the sources of your own security, prune them away. He's going to have your right to know why your Heavenly Father's doing what He's doing. He's going to prune it away because He cares about you producing fruit for His glory as the vine dresser. And when that perspective is taken, as Jesus is trying to help these disciples just before going down to the garden and going through the most tumultuous, painful pruning time of their life, He's trying to prepare them by helping them understand, listen, the emphasis isn't that God, the vine dresser, wants you to be more for Him, but for you to be with Him and through Him. And when you have that perspective, you realize that it's a simple concept. My son and I washed the truck. We're spraying the truck off. Got a hose. Hey, a minute. Hang on a minute. Go around this truck. It's kinked. Unkink that baby. I mean, do you understand? Get your cell phone out. Thank the Lord, no cell phones just rang. Cell phone. See, you ever been on a cell phone? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear? You know, garbled, hindered, limited. This is the same idea. Very little of us relate to this. There's no vineyards on Guam. But you will relate when you understand. I love you so much, the vine dresser says, that you know what? I want you to bear fruit. And if it's even some fruit, He'll lovingly prune you. I find the more sensitive the Christian, here's what they immediately do. Something happens bad in our life. And here's what happens. For some, they immediately think, I'm in sin. I'm in sin. The longer you're in a church, some of you grew up in church, you immediately start thinking, man, God, He hates me now. Oh, the big belly club. There are some people that don't look at it that way, but they don't realize, you know what? This isn't from an angry father. This is a vine dresser. I've got so much vested in this. I'm going to do all I can to make you produce because this is what you were created to do. That's what Jesus is saying to them. And that's why you enjoy the release. You release your rights, your expectations. When's the last time that something happened, you just think, why in the world did that happen? And God said, you know what? I'm trying to snip this away. I'm trying to prune this. I'm trying to take this away. Not because I don't love you. The reality is, I love you so much.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.